Hi, everyone. What I want to do is set the stage for, I think, a great set of panelists by talking a little bit about the federal government survey work and how state and local survey efforts might fit into what we're doing, particularly around healthcare reform. So I work at ASPE, which is the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Planning and Evaluation. We work very closely with our sister operating divisions, AHRQ, CDC, the CMS, and other divisions in collecting data around the government. So, and our focus right now is really on thinking about how to collect data to monitor and assess the implementation of healthcare reform as it rolls out. So I have no personal financial relationships to these surveys. So HHS currently supports 9 major surveys. Actually, one of those is a big group of provider surveys, so it's actually a lot more than that. And through those surveys, we collect data on all kinds of characteristics, health status, behavior, use, resources, workforce, and so on. These surveys provide essentially the compass for HHS. They tell us which way we're going and how far it is to true north from where we are, especially when we are able to combine this data from the surveys with regulatory and administrative data. And I think that's an important lesson that we've learned over the years, trying to align our survey data with regulatory and administrative efforts, that I think is also important when you think about these issues from the state and local level. Several of our household surveys are linked to one another through an initiative that integrates HHS surveys. And we also have some survey data that are linked, for example, to Medicare claims data, and I'll talk a little bit more about some initiatives in that direction. Some of our HHS surveys provide state-level data already, either for the largest states or for all states, and they also provide detailed data on race and ethnicity and several oversample issues in those areas. I want to talk about how we might think about data. And I think the way that I like to think about data is in terms of how it might be used. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the data that I'm familiar with and the uses that I'm familiar with putting data to and how that informs our thinking about where we need to go next. So a lot of the work that I did prior to coming to HHS was looking at what would happen if we ever did healthcare reform. It took a long, long time. I worked on it for a very long time. And in that time, in the run-up to healthcare reform, we asked several questions. One of them, which continues to plague us, is just how many people have coverage and what kind of coverage do they have. That turns out to be a question that is going to become increasingly complex in the post-health reform era. So we are now working on things like how will we be able to learn from people whether the coverage they have comes from health insurance exchanges or from Medicaid or from the existing small group market, or how are we going to know what kind of coverage people have. We've already learned that our existing surveys don't do a great job in capturing the type of coverage people have. And then we've also asked questions about the patterns of utilization that people have. In the period that Congress began debating the plans in earnest, we began to focus on specific populations, and that also gives us directions looking forward, like small businesses, vulnerable populations, and trying to think about whether our surveys provide enough granularity around those kinds of populations. We use those data to build simulation models of reform, and I've become increasingly convinced that while I don't necessarily believe the results of simulation models, the exercise of putting them together is extremely instructive in terms of thinking about what you need to measure. Because when you put the whole thing together to see what happens at the end, you really see where all of the pieces are. CBO, when they built their simulation model, used a model that combined the SIP and the MEPS data. Others have used different sources of data to put their models together. And one of the things that we learned in the run-up to this is that while these data were very useful, some of them, we didn't have all of the parameters that we needed in thinking about this specific problem. And in particular, when we looked at health reform coming into the Affordable Care Act initiative, almost every health reform people were looking at was a reform that kept the employer-based health insurance system. And yet, we really have lousy data on that nexus of employer-individual decision-making. So trying to figure out what employers would do and how they would relate to employees has been a big problem, a continuing problem. There have been some efforts to link employer and employee data, but they're very, very costly. And instead, actually, most modelers went off and created simulated firms, trying to create synthetic firms forms out of the data that existed. One of the things that we learned from that is that there are certain questions you can ask just at the employer level or just at the employee level that help you to construct those synthetic firms. So, for example, if we can ask more questions about the composition of compensation within an employer group, we can use that better to construct a synthetic firm out of the employer level data. We're now doing work like that with the MEPS, also trying to link individual and employer surveys. As we go forward and think about health insurance reform, what we're trying to do is adjust our survey planning for this new world. And particularly, and I think this is equally true for, it will be even more true as I'll come back to, for state and local efforts, thinking about the layered system that will exist in the wake of 2014 after health insurance expansions are fully in place. There will be Medicaid expansions. There will be people in benchmark Medicaid plans and in traditional Medicaid plans. There will be the health insurance exchanges and the plans within those exchanges, perhaps the small employer shop exchanges, the large employers, and Medicare all happening in the same universe. So we need to think about coverage reform and access to care across all of these different dimensions. And then there will be a lot of provider initiatives. Many of those are already starting. Medicare ACOs, accountable care organizations, bundled payments, the new office of the duals, lots and lots of different layered provider incentives, layering again with Medicaid provider incentives that will be varying among states. Trying to sort out which of those incentives has which effect is going to be a very challenging effort that we need to think about as we develop surveys. And also thinking about the private sector response to everything we do in the public sector. Will it complement or go against the efforts that we are making in the public sector? Trying to think all of that through. There will be new data available. One of the things that we have heard loud and clear is that privacy concerns are paramount, and I think the degree of concern about privacy is rising, and appropriately so, because new technologies make it easier to back out information from data sets. And so we all need to be very careful and aware of that as we move forward. At the same time, we want to make use as much as possible of the new sources of data that will be available, which include claims and administrative data from all these new programs, the health insurance exchanges and so on, as well as potentially electronic health records data and the potential for linking those data to existing state and local and national surveys. So I think we want to try and make the most possible use of the administrative and claims data and electronic health records data going along and think about how to integrate them with surveys. So as all of these data come on, I think one question we've been thinking about a lot is, what is the remaining role of surveys? What do we want to do? And I think one of the things that we've learned is that there's a lot you can get out of administrative data, but not everything. And some things that you can't get that we would really care about, you can't get rich information on socioeconomic status attributes from administrative data. You need to think about linking administrative data to survey data at the person level to get that. You can't find out about the different members of a family, and in the world of health reform, it is quite possible the different members of a family will be getting coverage from different sources. Kids will be in CHIP or Medicaid, and parents will be in employer-sponsored coverage, but their family decisions may all happen together. So trying to think about how you interweave that information will be really important. Again, thinking about employers, the relationship between employers and the family and the person as we move forward will not, because we retain the employer-based system, I think will continue to be a problem. And then even when we think about ACOs and bundled payment, administrative data tell us a lot, but they don't tell us some important provider characteristics that we may want to know about as we try to assess responses to incentives. Another big area that surveys will be important for is transitions, and those will be an important consideration. People will be moving among these different kinds of coverage systems, newly getting insured, their utilization patterns will change, and we'll also be interested in transitions by providers, among payment arrangements, among organizational arrangements. Surveys are probably a better way to track that than administrative data. Now, it's really important, I think, for us to work very closely with state and local data collection, because almost all of what's happening in healthcare reform is happening at state and local levels. With the exception of some of the Medicare payment changes, the health insurance exchanges and the Medicaid expansions, Medicaid payment changes and so on, all are happening at subnational levels. And we have to be sure to work with state and local health data providers to make sure that we get information that will help us on that. Claims data will be most useful at the level of the state-level exchanges, perhaps. They'll be collecting that kind of information. We need to think hard about the kinds of supplemental population data that we would want to associate with those. sub-state level, we'll be getting data from, we won't be getting data, you will be getting data from health plans, or there will be data from health plans. How do we think about linking that into state and local health survey information? Can data on local provider organizations be collected that spans plans? Because we'll be getting information on providers from payers, typically, like Medicare has information on providers. Can we collect information on providers that spans the type of insurance that they have? So we're going to continue to have population-based health surveys that will be important in monitoring insurance coverage and transitions. And we're actually working on adding questions to our population-based health surveys, and we'd be very happy to share those with you in anticipation of healthcare reform. For example, we're now adding questions to the National Health Interview Survey, asking people if they visited an emergency room because their doctor was not available at a given time. So not only whether they visited an emergency room, but to drill down and try and get a sense of whether this was actually a problem in access to primary care. We ask questions more about whether you're able to find a primary care doctor if you're switching doctors. So we really focused in a lot in the NHIS questions about access to care issues. We have surveys of healthcare providers, like the National Ambulatory Medical Care Survey, the Hospital Discharge Survey, and so on. Many of these surveys are cross-sectional in nature. We're trying to assess how these surveys could support longitudinal analysis to see whether we can get a grip on providers changing the way that they do business over time. We currently have very limited data on health plans at the national level, and that is really a real problem going forward. So we're trying to beef up some of the efforts at MEPS to collect data from employers on their health plans. And we need to really be assessing things like plan entry and exit in markets and generating a much more robust set of information about health plans to provide us with information on how those plans are responding to changes and to support policy research and evaluation. And employer and employee surveys, really we have very little systematic survey capacity that links employers and employees. The MEPS insurance component is one place that, I keep looking over at Steve, that we do this. And the HRET, Kaiser Family Foundation, the HRET survey is also useful in this regard. But it's another area that we continue to struggle with. So this will be an area where consideration is really beneficial. So I think it's really important for us to work closely with states. Some of our national surveys do provide state-level estimates. The NHIS does for the largest states. The CPS and the BRFIS do for most states. They provide state-by-state data. Sometimes you can get data from other surveys as well. But we really need to think about how to link state and local data to our federal data so that we can get a complete picture not only of how health reform is rolling out across the country, but also of how the decisions that different states make affect what happens within those states. And we are committed to working with you to make all this happen, so if you have any questions, please email me. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. Sherry, could you stay for a second? Because Dr. Gliad has to leave the session early for a meeting with the secretary, I wanted to see if anyone had one or two questions that we could take just for Sherry. The other speakers, we will wait and take the questions at the end with a general discussion. Any questions for Dr. Gliad? None. I have a question for you.
Okay.
We have a question over here. I'll repeat the question.
I have a question, but I'm sure that it will also mm-hmm.
So the question is, from a local health department perspective, they are working on a lot of data issues and trying to coordinate with the state, and they're looking to the national government as well as the state because they're having difficulty getting data sharing across different local level agencies like transportation with public health. Sherry, would you like to address that?
Thank you.
Gee, that's a great question, and we actually have some interesting work going on in that area. So I think one of the things that's really interesting is this is an area where new technologies have great potential. So we have some real computer geeks in the department who are really thrilled about the possibility of getting almost anything on your iPhone app. But it sort of seems silly, but a couple of things that we're actually trying to do. So one is we have this new health data warehouse that is trying to put all of our data together in a way that makes it more accessible to people. We in ASPE are working on a tracking and reporting system around healthcare that I hope we'll be able to roll out to all of you soon. But even more, I think, on point is we have an effort that's really happening with CDC and with our Assistant Secretary for Preparedness on trying to get census-type data, transportation, that kind of information at the very local level in case of a public health emergency. So, for example, in the wake of Katrina or an earthquake or whatever, can we find out anything you might want to know? Where are the roads? Where are the daycare centers? Things that we have in federal data, but you'd really have to drill down and get to the census webpage and find it, trying to put that on essentially an iPhone app. And so this effort is going on, and if you're interested in getting some details, please do write to me, and I can try and put you in touch with the person who would know about it.
Any other questions? I guess one of the questions I'd have, Sherry, is how soon do you think that there will be this kind of, the sort of integration and coordination of data across agencies? This is a really big problem. It's a problem in the federal government. It's a problem between federal agencies and state and local agencies. And are there concrete efforts being put forward now through HHS and your office, the secretaries, with regard to that?
So a couple of efforts that are going on. One is HHS has a data council that meets regularly and tries to do coordination of data survey data efforts around the department. Because of health reform, there's actually been interest from the White House in the same question across the federal government in thinking through particularly those surveys that have a relationship to healthcare reform. So in this case, some of the Census Bureau surveys that ask questions about healthcare and the Department of Labor surveys, trying to get some integration across those surveys. We also have a couple of work groups going on within HHS trying to rationalize, might be the best word, the measures that we use. So one of the complications, and I think it's a really challenging complication, it's not clear what the right answer to it is even, is that in one of our surveys we ask about, say, tobacco use one way, and in another survey we ask a question about tobacco use that's really a somewhat different question. In health insurance coverage, it turns out we never paid any attention to this until we started to do it, that the way we ask about the non-group insurance market in the current population survey, in the National Health Interview Survey, in the MEPS, and in the BRFIS is just completely different. We're asking about a different construct. So we can get numbers that are different by a factor of 50% because we're not asking, for example, where do student health plans show up? It turns out that the way the NHIS classifies non-group and the way CPS classifies non-group, student health plans show up in a different place. So this kind of like attention to really minute detail, which is really challenging because everybody has a reason for asking it the way they do and a history. So we are trying to do it.
Thank you. Sometimes those reasons are just history and not really a current rationale. And I know that A.J. Scheitler, in her presentation at the end of this session, is going to talk about this new national network of state and local health surveys. And one of the missions and goals of this network is to promote harmonization across surveys, exactly addressing that point. Thank you, Sherry. One last question. Nancy Breen.
Yes. So we had a lot of information from the cancer registry, but nothing screening or tobacco use or any of those things that would help us explain and understand better the patterns and trends that we were seeing in the cancer registry data. So we started doing a lot of monitoring. And I think that there's, so I've been working on that for about 15 or 20 years. And we supported SHIT because we wanted to have some regional and local data. We also wanted better data on some of the diverse racial ethnic populations, which are much more concentrated in California. But the question is, there seems to be kind of an ambivalence at the federal government level about whether the federal government should be involved in collecting state and particularly local data. And I'm hoping that might be changing, and I wonder if you could comment on that.
So the question from Dr. Breen at NCI, which does population health surveillance in the cancer area, is there a real integrated or sweeping policy now in the federal government that encourages the support of data collection by the federal government of state and local health topics and issues? Fair question? Is that correct?
Okay. So I guess I'm trained as an economist, and I always think of everything in terms of trade-offs. And in the case of data collection, there are a bunch of trade-offs that we face, and we face them all the time. How frequently we're going to collect data, at what level of specificity about questions, how many questions are we going to ask, how specific on a geographic level, how specific on a population level, right? So we can't, and privacy and confidentiality, all of those together. That's a trade-off that has to be played out all the time. I think that because health reform is so state and local focused, particularly state focused, there is a little bit of a push within the department to make sure that we can create state-level estimates for as much as we possibly can, because that really will be a dimension, a policy-relevant dimension going forward. So I think the scale is a little bit tipped in that direction right now because of the way the Affordable Care Act is structured around states. But it's also really challenging budget times, and so this trade-off becomes ever more tight at all times. So at the same time, you know, where there's also a push to expand the scope of questions around race, ethnicity, disability status, and so on, and to rationalize those. There's a lot of competing priorities here, but I do think that at least the state-level issue has definitely surfaced as something that is a priority.